Welcome as we present another edition of Books and Beyond, heard weekly at this time. And now, here's your host, Bonnie Bloss.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Books and Beyond. Tonight, it's my pleasure to have as our guest, Josh Sullivan. Josh is a 27-year-old artist from St. Petersburg, Florida, traveling throughout this country. And he is doing it in order to self-publish and, of course, write before he self-publishes the book, 52 Friends. He has been putting together comics and zines since 1996 and has done over 130 other books. He enjoys painting and writes as well. In 2003, he was nominated for an Ignatz Award in the mini comic industry. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're originally from, and a little bit about your background.
I grew up in the lovely, bustling metropolis of Saginaw, Michigan, and, of course, as soon as I turned 18, I wanted to leave there, and my best friend and I moved down to St. Petersburg, Florida, and 2 weeks after we got there, he decided to leave and go back to Michigan, so I've been living in Florida since the end of 1999, and I really like St. Petersburg, really great city. It's the fourth largest city in Florida, but it doesn't feel like a big city. It's got a real nice small-town feel to it, real great art scene and music scene there. But one day it hit me that I didn't really need to be in St. Pete. I didn't have anything holding me back. I was working at a junkyard, and I don't really care about cars, so I wasn't doing it as a career, and I didn't have anything else holding me back. I didn't have a girlfriend. I lived by myself, so I could get rid of my apartment if I needed to, and so I decided I was going to save up for 6 months and do an entire trip around the country for all of 2009. So I started January 1st and I end December 31st.
How cool. Now, how did you come up with this idea?
I was going from St. Pete up to Atlanta to see a show. This girl that I had liked and we've been hanging out, we decided we were going to go do a road trip up to Atlanta to see the performer Daniel Johnston, who is notorious for not playing very many shows. So I jumped at the chance to go on a trip. And it was actually the first time I'd ever taken any time off from work at the junkyard. And I was having a really good time just being away from work. And this girl and I, we were both fans of the NPR show This American Life. And I had some shows on CD, so we were listening to them going up to Atlanta. And basically, on This American Life, they're just talking about stories of random people from all over the country, and they'll play interviews, and they all tie into some sort of theme. And the more we were listening to them, the more it got me thinking that I wanted to go hear these stories. I wanted to go meet these people. I wanted to go hear about random places in some of these random cities. And there was, we ended up listening to the very first episode of This American Life, and this was back when it was called Your Radio Playhouse, and the very first story on the very first episode was about this guy Kevin Kelly, who was one of the guys who was the editor in chief of Wired magazine back in the day, and he was talking about how when he was 27, he was a reporter over in Jerusalem, and there was a curfew for the journalists, and he ended up missing the curfew, so he was forced to sleep outside. And he awoke, or supposedly he fell asleep on the spot where Jesus was resurrected. And he awoke the next day, and he had an epiphany, and he decided that he was going to live the next 6 months of his life as if they were the last 6 months of his life. So he got back to the U.S., and he basically got rid of everything. He gave he anonymously gave away all of his money. He said he sent out $1,000 checks to people, and he biked across the country. And so he was living, you know, as if he was going to die. And basically, it ended up being where at the end of the 6 months, the last day that he was supposed to live was Halloween. And he traveled all over the country visiting family members and just spending time with people. And his last night of his trip was Halloween, and he was staying with his parents. And he said that he went to bed that night with the understanding that he would not wake up. And when he woke up on November 1st that morning, he said that it was as if he was reborn. And basically that story was a big catalyst for this trip. It was like, I want to go do something like that. I want to go see the country. And if this guy can do it and do it by bike, I can do it some weird way too. So that's pretty much how it happened.
I think that is an incredible story.
I emailed him a couple months ago, and I said, and I thanked him for inspiring this trip. I emailed him, and he wrote back, and he said, you know, he's glad he could be of some help.
Well, I think it's really terrific how those things get passed on. How much did you have to plan ahead of time? You said that you saved for 6 months. What other preparations did you make in order to do this?
When I figured I was going to do this, pretty much everything came together right at that moment. It was like an explosion, and like this whole, you know, a light bulb went off, and like everything fell together immediately. This girl that I was going up to Atlanta with, we were fighting the whole time on the trip, and as soon as I got this idea that I was going to do 52 friends, I was really excited. I didn't even care about going to Atlanta anymore. I just wanted to get back to St. Pete so I could start working on it. And so basically I knew I was going to do a zine. I knew I wanted to do a new issue for each week, for each day. And so what I did is I sort of just made my life start working towards as if I was going to be leaving in the beginning of 2009. So I started getting rid of a lot of stuff, and I only told a handful of people. So all my friends thought I was crazy. Every time they'd come over, there'd be this giant pile of stuff I was getting rid of, and I kept trying to get them to take it. So they had no idea what I was doing, and I just kept chalking it up as I was cleaning out everything and getting rid of things. So that was the first indication that something was up with my friends. And then there was there was sort of a halfway point where I decided, you know, I can either do this or not. And there was this other girl that I liked at the end of the summer, and I basically told her how I felt, and she didn't feel the same way about me. And I sort of based it on that, you know, if she felt the same way about me, then maybe I'd put the trip on hold, maybe see how things worked with her. And if she didn't feel the same way, then I was going to start promoting the trip. I was going to finally start telling people. So August 31st, I told her how I felt, and she didn't feel the same. So September 1st comes around, and I went full force into promoting it. And I was emailing people and just telling whoever I could. And right away, I had a super good response, and people were just coming out of the blue. People I went to high school with that I hadn't talked to in 10 years were emailing me and said, come stay with me. I'm in the middle of nowhere, California. Come stay with me. And so right away I just started making the preparations. I was booking cities to stay with, or people to stay with in different cities. I started selling subscriptions to the zine, which was a big help for funding the trip. You know, just got rid of more and more stuff, but it was really funny because I ran out of time at the end of it, and I was just throwing away things like crazy into the alley behind my apartment, and people were taking things, and that's how I ended up getting rid of all my furniture because I didn't have any time to deal with it, and I was really, really dead set on just starting the trip. Plus, I was working. I ended up putting my 2 weeks notice at work 2 weeks before I started the trip, so I went right from working right into traveling.
Now, when you advertised and chose people to stay with, what conditions did they have to meet? Did you only decide to stay with families? Did you want, obviously, a combination of strangers and people you knew, as you said, from high school? Or how did you choose the people, or how did they choose you?
Basically, the routing of the trip is based around whoever would offer me a place to stay. And originally, I had come up with a preliminary route, which took me through pretty much all lower 48 states, and it was going to be really spread out because I initially wasn't going to take a bus at all. I was just going to try to get rides from the people I was staying with and have them see if they could take me to the next place. But then it ended up diverting from that plan, and I ended up doing a couple really long bus rides. I did two 1,400-mile bus rides. I went from Texas to California, and I went from Washington to Colorado. And it was basically just because I couldn't find a place to stay, so I just started hopping around. And right from the start, it was a lot of friends, either friends I knew and I kept in touch with, or people I hadn't heard from in a long time, but I knew were really cool and would be up for having me. So then as soon as they started emailing me, a lot of their friends were emailing me. So it turned into a friends of friends thing. But then about a month into the trip, I started getting some press about this, and all of a sudden it turned into random strangers emailing me. And, of course, my mom, who lives in Florida now too, my mom's back home, you know, questioning me about this. You know, how do you know these people? How do you, you know, what are you going to do? Why are you going to this place? And I said, you know what, Mom, if these people are willing to open their homes and open their lives to me for a week, I should not be questioning that at all. I shouldn't, you know, so you shouldn't be questioning that. You shouldn't be worried for my safety. I feel like I know what I'm doing. And so I kind of had to just put my foot down about it, because she kept feeding all sorts of things and filling my head with stuff. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm worried about you. And I'm like, Mom, I'm just going to do this trip. Don't worry about it. I know I have to do this. I know I have to go on an adventure. So that's what I've been doing for the past 4 months, and so 8 more months to go.
Do you have any guidelines or any safety checks you do, or research any of the people you stay with, the strangers, or do you encourage them to check on your background?
No, for the people I don't know, at first I was thinking, you know, it'd be really weird staying with complete strangers, but now, and especially in the past week, I've stayed with people that I had never previously met, and I'm welcoming stuff like that. I'm welcoming, you know, meeting new people, because in this past week I've met maybe 50 new people in, you know, central western Wisconsin, and it's been amazing, and it's been really great hearing their stories and telling them about mine. And so I think it's just I've been so busy with everything, I haven't really thought about having any guidelines. I haven't really questioned it. If they offered their home to me, I just go with it.
So, I think that's great.
So sometimes I just end up at the bus station. I went from Florissant, Missouri I went from St. Louis to Minneapolis, and I stayed in River Falls, Wisconsin for the first half of this week. And basically I got off at the bus station. The girl I was staying with, she said, are you Josh? I go, yeah, hey, how you doing? And she picked me up and took me back to River Falls, Wisconsin. I was staying with her and her 5 roommates. And it was weird. And, you know, and I sit there and I think, I go, you know, I'm comfortable here. I'm surrounded by people who don't think it's weird that this weird hobo is sitting on their couch. So I'm really changing on this trip. I'm really not as defensive as I used to be. I'm not as shy as I used to be. I'm not worrying myself to death as much as I used to. I was always brought up to just be a worrywart, and you know, there's so much the world has to offer, and if you're sitting there, you know, wanting to sit inside and not experience things, then, you know, you're not really experiencing life. And I think that was a big thing with me on this trip, is I had never traveled before, and what better way to travel than to hop around the country for a whole year and experience it in such a crazy fashion.
What I really like about what you're doing is that I'm not hearing from you, I have this great purpose of historic sites or getting to a certain town for a particular event or an agenda. I'm hearing, I just want to meet people in my country.
Yeah, it's really funny, because a lot of people, before I'm about to stay with them, they'll ask me, you know, is there anything specific you want to do? And I tell them, I say, no, you know, whatever happens, happens. Wherever the day takes me, it takes me. A great example is today I gave a talk at the senior center here in Durand, Wisconsin, and I got done with the talk, and one of the women who was eating her lunch there, she said, do you want to go to the Devil's Punch Bowl? And I go, I don't even know what that is, and yes. And so me and my host and her hopped in this woman's car, and we drove up to this thing called Devil's Punch Bowl, which is basically like a geological formation. It's water wore away the rock, and it's just like a horseshoe-shaped cavern in the middle of Wisconsin. And we drove out there. It's about 20 miles away from here. And it was one of the most incredible things I'd seen on this trip. And I'm sitting there just amazed at this. And I was telling them on the ride out there, I said, you know, if I wasn't doing this trip right now and going on this weird adventure with you guys, you know, a woman I just met, and, you know, a half hour beforehand, and then a woman that I met a few days beforehand, I would, if I wasn't doing this, I would be at work right now, back in St. Petersburg, probably just mad that I'm at work. So, originally there were all sorts of things, specific things I wanted to do. And so my first week was in St. Petersburg, because I wanted to go basically be a tourist in my own city. So I had all these things lined up, and I was like, I got to do this on this day. And it turned out to be the most haphazard week I've had yet, because there was so much stuff going on. And so for week two, I decided, you know what, I'm going to leave it up to fate. You know, if I decide to wake up real early one morning and just start walking, then I'm going to see what, you know, what life wants me to see. And so it's really funny, on the trip when I'm telling people where I've gone, they'll ask me, oh, you know, have you gone to the Grand Canyon? Have you gone to Mount Rushmore? I'm like, nope. They're like, why not? And I go, well, I just went wherever people offered me places to stay, or I just wandered. And I've developed a incredible knack for wandering now. And thankfully, I can find my way back home to these places that I'm staying in. So I haven't admitted to getting lost. I just admit to wandering.
Well, I think, I don't know whether you're familiar with the writer Peter Jenkins, who wrote the books about walking across America, but when I was thinking about what you're doing, I thought about him, even though you're doing it differently, and certainly Charles Perrault
does
this kind of thing too. I think they would both be extremely proud of what you're doing, and it says a lot about the American spirit that we can do this, probably in most countries, unless obviously a country is in the middle of a war. This would probably be something that a lot of people would dream of doing. So many people don't ever want to leave their neighborhood, or they drive the same way to work and the same way back. I was thinking, when you were talking about worry that and this having an agenda, that of a story once that I heard about how the psychiatrist was doing this therapy group, and the people were all worried about something, and so he said, what I want you to do is go home and worry. I want you to set time aside for worry.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'll see you in 2 weeks. And he did this for about a month, and they kept coming back, and each time they would say, well, this is really helping, you know. At first they really loved it. They thought, well, I'm getting permission to worry. And then they started to realize what a drag it was, because it was a chore. They had to set aside time for it. They had an agenda.
Yeah.
So many times we feel we have to have some great purpose in what we do instead of just thinking that, hey, it might be just fun to have fun.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking maybe about a month into this trip, I told myself I need to be appreciating every single second of this year because I may very well be in the midst of the greatest thing I'll ever do in my life. And, but on the flip side of that, it's, I always refer to it as this weird little project that I'm doing. You know, it's, I did a radio interview out of Chicago, and the host, he kept asking me, he said, why would anybody be interested in this? And I said, I didn't think anybody would be interested in this. This is just my weird little thing I'm doing. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this to see the country, to maybe finally grow up. You know, I'm getting closer to 30. I wanted to go do something before I turned 30. You know, and then I keep thinking back, back to what you said about people don't even want to leave their neighborhood. I was, when I lived in St. Pete, I lived 4 blocks from Tampa Bay, and I hardly walked down there. And on the other side, it was 6-7 miles to the Gulf of Mexico and all the amazing beaches over there. And I might have gone to the beach once, twice in a year. And I'm thinking back at that, and I go, wow, I was really limiting myself even, you know, in my own backyard. And now I'm wandering around. I was in Seattle, and I basically just woke up and I said, I'm gonna walk west. I've already walked downtown. I've already seen, you know, pretty much all the big stuff. Standing next to the Space Needle, I'm gonna walk west and see what happens and see if I can get to Puget Sound. So I walked and walked and walked, and I ended up walking about 6 miles. And turns out, I was walking through this forest, it's getting dark, and it turns out I ended up at the westernmost point in Seattle, which is called West Point, and it's these two little rocky beaches that combine at a point where a lighthouse is. And what's funny is I could have very well missed it because I was walking, and I said to myself, you know what, it's getting dark, but let's see what's up this road. And I walk up the road, and it says... It said Sunset Park, and I go, oh yeah, I'm by some water. So I got to Sunset Park. I got to West Point as the sun was setting, and I go, you know what? If I just didn't decide to keep going and see where the day took me, I wouldn't have seen this. And it was a really great scene, seeing this old lighthouse, seeing Puget Sound, seeing the mountains off in the distance, and I just keep thinking it's either fate playing tricks with me, or it's just that I'm so naive about where I am and where I'm traveling to that it's all working out in my favor because everything's really amazing me.
What advice did people give you before you left? Usually whenever you do anything like this, people who've never done it have all kinds of advice because, of course, everyone becomes an expert on what they've never done.
Yeah.
Where they think they are. What kinds of things did they tell you?
Oh, geez. It was weird because a lot of people back home didn't think I was going to do it. They a lot of people were questioning why I was doing it, and they're like, "Why are you going to do that?" And I'm like, "Why not? Why question that?" I don't know. You know, I can't remember anything specific people were saying to me because everything was happening way too fast. It came up real fast. I had a going away party the night before I left, and then I was gone. And it was real interesting because then right away into the second week, as opposed to people wondering why I was doing it, they were being real supportive of it. They're like, wow, that's really cool. I wish I could do something like that. They're like, wow, you're going to have a really fun time this year. But everybody back home, they were being supportive of it, but I think that they weren't really, they didn't really think I was going to pull it off. So I heard from, not some of my close friends, but I heard from other people. They had said things like, oh, he'll be back soon. You know, I don't think my mom thought I was going to do it up until that day when I left. I was like, well, see you in a year, Mom. And So I can't think of anything really specific people were saying. It just basically, I think the one thing a lot of people were telling me was to just have fun.
I'm glad.
And so I think I really took that to heart, because then that opened it up to just go and do things. And even the most mundane thing people might think of in their town turns out to be one of the coolest things I might see. And so as soon as I got in that mindset, as soon as I started just having fun and letting go, you know, I've panicked about a lot of things in my life, and now I'm really, really busy, and I'm really used to packing up every Thursday and going on to my next week, that I really don't have time to panic anymore.
What is the hardest thing about traveling from place to place? Is there anything that is difficult?
Sometimes the bus rides are, you know, they're really screwy with your sleep schedule. You'll sleep a billion times on the bus, and you'll never know where exactly you're at. And there was a great example was going from Ellensburg, Washington, to Denver. There were two different routes you could take, and one was through Idaho and Utah into Colorado, and then there was another route through Montana and Wyoming. And I thought to myself, you know what? When am I ever going to be in Montana or Wyoming? I've never been there before. I'm taking that route. And it turned out to be really great going through canyons and things like that. But it was 30 stops in a 32-hour period. And so I found myself at Billings at 5, 6 in the morning, wondering when I was going to get a chance to sleep. So that's something that really screws things up. I think the hardest thing is making enough time to appreciate everything, but also making enough time to try to get the workload aspect of it taken care of. Like, I'm keeping a pretty concise journal about everything. I'm taking a billion photos, and I've been putting those up online. I've been taking video and putting that up. I've been trying to keep up on my email, working on booking the rest of the trip, trying to promote everything. Just because initially when I started it, I said, you know what? I'm going to use this trip to get my name out there. I want to make a living off my art, and this is something artistic I'm doing. Maybe this will help me for when I'm done with this trip. Maybe I can finally start making a living off my art. Maybe I don't have to go back to work at the junkyard. So I've been promoting it here and there whenever I get a chance, but I think that's the hardest thing. I really, really thought when I left that a week would be a great amount of time to be spending in these places, and now I realize a week is not long at all. And I was, I'm a member on couchsurfing.com, and some of the places I don't have lined up, I'll email people. I'll say, you know, hey, I'm doing this crazy trip. Would you mind me staying with you for a week? And the majority of the people will write back, and they'll say, a week is too long. If you were staying less, it'd be all right. Like, not in my eyes. A week is very, very short. And so I think that's the hardest thing. And in addition to that, it's a lot of these really great people I'm staying with, I just want to be around them more. And they know there's a limited amount of time. I know there's a limited amount of time. And I'll leave some of these places, and I'm like, man, I can't believe I haven't talked to that person in 10 years, or I can't believe I just met that person a week ago. And a really good example was, when I was staying in outside St. Louis, I was staying with the radio producer for Overnight America with John Grayson and his wife. And basically the producer said, right off the bat, when he first emailed me, he said, you know, if you're coming to St. Louis, we got a spare bedroom. And it's funny, because when I got there, he said, you know, I didn't think you were going to take me up on the offer. So I get to their house, and his wife was, you know, eyeing me, and she goes, you know, I was questioning him. I was wondering, you know, how he knew you. She said, you know, do I have to worry about anything with you? And I go, no. I said, thank you so much for letting me stay with you. I'm, you know, I don't want to be a burden on you guys. I'm just here for the week. Thank you so much. And so at the end of that week, when they were dropping me off at the Greyhound station, you know, we were all real cool with each other. She's giving me a big hug. She said, oh, thank you so much for staying with us. I was so happy to meet them. They were really, really great people. And I'm like, man, I wish I could have more time to spend with these people. But then on the other side of that, it's like, you know, now that I know that I can go and travel, which before really doing this trip, I hadn't gone anywhere. So I was thinking it'd be real hard to go and, you know, go see people. So now that I have the mindset that I can go to visit these people fairly easily, I can go visit them. You know, when I'm done with this trip, I can just, you know, hop on a bus or hop on a plane, go visit my friends, and I don't have to make it be this huge spectacle as I once thought it would be. So I don't know. I'm really appreciating everybody's generosity on this trip too.
I think as an artist, it will greatly increase your vision, and you will have a way of looking inside yourself and outside at the world when you're done with this that you've never had before, and you'll have more freedom within you. And I think an important point, too, is that people may not necessarily do the same thing you're doing right now, but we limit ourselves by deciding our own limitations. Well, I can't do this or I can't do that. And you decided to go beyond that, and I think the lesson for everybody is that they can do something. It may not be what you're doing, but they can do something. It doesn't have to be travel. It could be anything. It could be saying, gee, I'm going to plant a garden this year, or go work at some sort of a summer camp, or anything. It can be anything at all.
Yeah, I was really limiting myself back home. I basically just went to work and went home, and whenever my friends would want to hang out, I just kept always saying, oh, I've got to do art, I've got to do this, and I was just always so dead set on getting things accomplished. And so on the trip, where it's it really is a freedom with the trip, is I can, you know, wake up and there's probably just been a handful of days on this trip where I've actually woken up by an alarm clock. And So I keep thinking about, you know, my entire adult life, and actually, you know, from basically since high school till now, my whole life has been a slave to an alarm clock. So that's a good way to look at it too. But, you know, some of the people I've met along the way, they never knew about the world of zines and doing little, you know, photocopied self-published books. And so I was showing them some of the stuff I was doing, and they go, you know what? I want to do something like that. And so hearing that is really, really great. There was one of the roommates of the girl I stay with in Sacramento, she said she was a comic artist, and she was wondering how she could get her work out there. And I said, how about you just self-publish it and get it out there and then see how it goes? Use that as your calling card. And she goes, you know what? I never thought about that. And then she said, I'm so happy to have met you. I'm so glad you are staying here on our couch.
That's right. Well, that's how new ideas come about, because when you meet people, you are exposed to different things and different people and people who do things you've never even thought of, and they get the same thing from you.
Yeah. Oh, I've been changing this whole time on the trip, just from week to week. It's like people live a different lifestyle in each place. I'm sharing in 1 week of their lives, and I'm learning so much from everybody, and I'm getting a little piece from everybody for the whole year, and it's starting to shape, you know, how I want to be. On this trip, I can finally, you know, tell myself that I'm happy. I'm happy with doing this trip. I'm happy in life. I'm happy that I'm meeting people. I'm happy that I'm hearing their stories. I'm happy that I'm doing art for a change. I was back in Florida. When I was working at the junkyard, it was a pretty laborious job. So I would wake up real early, go to the junkyard, come home, and just be completely pooped. And so I would never have time really to do art. So I would just go to work, come home, go to bed, go to work. And I'm doing art for, you know, on a larger scale than I have in a long, long time. You know, even, you know, probably more while I'm doing the trip than I have in the past 5 years. So that's really helping. That's being real beneficial. And I like that about myself. I like that I can be productive while I'm doing this weird little adventure.
Well, I think it's terrific. Have you had any embarrassing moments or especially memorable moments on this trip so far that you'd like to talk about?
I can't name the city. I found myself finally doing. I'd embarrassed myself doing karaoke back home, but I hadn't done karaoke at all on the trip until a few days ago, and so I ended up in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, doing karaoke, and that I felt kind of embarrassed at first, and I go, you know what? Everybody's drunk. They don't care what I'm singing. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like, there's so much stuff that's gone on. I got a great one. Okay, so I end up in Lemon Grove, California, on a Friday, and I got a nice amount of friends that live in the area, so they're all at the house that I'm staying with. Everybody's friends with each other, and I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, the power goes out. And me, I think it's my fault because I just plugged my laptop in. I go, what happened? I'm sorry, I blew your fuse. And then all of a sudden, we start hearing all these noises and pounding and screaming. And turns out my friend that I was staying with had orchestrated a zombie attack for my arrival. So all of his friends from the neighborhood dressed up as zombies and started trying to break into the house. They cut the power. They were running around with, you know, somebody had a fake gun in his hand. Somebody had a machete in his hand. And I'm sitting there giggling the whole time. And they go, why weren't you scared? And I go, because it was really scary right at first. And I said, you know, I think I wasn't scared because my laptop stayed on after your power went out. So I had this light with me. And the really funny thing is a couple of my friends that were hanging out with me, they didn't know what was going on, and they were scared out of their mind. And the great part about it for the trip is I got it all on film, so we got to watch it afterward. Some really memorable stuff I can think of is climbing up Cowles Mountain in San Diego, which is the highest point in San Diego, and it was the first time I ever hiked up a mountain. And basically, it was just my friend said, "Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere," and I go, "Oh, okay." And we just start hiking up this mountain, and we get up to the top, and you can see into Tijuana, and you can see the Pacific, you see downtown San Diego, and I was really happy. So I called my mom. I said, "Hey, there's a cell phone tower up here. I'll probably have good reception." So I called my mom, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm on a mountain." And she said, "What are you doing on a mountain?" And I go, I wanted to go hike up one. And it was really funny. As soon as I start walking around the other side of the mountain, my phone cuts out. So she gets worried. She calls me back later that night, and she goes, "I thought you fell off that mountain." And I go, "Oh, sorry. You know, my phone cut out." I think the most memorable stuff on the trip to me is finally getting to see all these places I've heard so much about. Austin, Texas was really amazing. Portland, Oregon. Seattle. I think, so this is week 18. Out of all the weeks, I think I've only, before this trip, I think I've only been to one of the cities I stayed in, and that was San Diego. And really then I hadn't even explored it because I'd gone there for Comic-Con. And so pretty much this entire trip so far, it's been places I have never stepped foot in. And what's really great is each week when I'm staying with the next person, I'll start lamenting my previous adventures from the other weeks. I'm like, "Hey, this happened in Austin, this happened in Denver," and I'm sure I'm boring the crap out of everybody with telling them all these stories. But I'm really excited about everything. You know, I've been living in Florida for 9 years. Everything's flat. I lived somewhere where it was 7 feet above sea level. So I'm seeing hills, and everything is developed in St. Pete. So there's no There's no open land. There's no wide area of trees. So I'm taking pictures of all that stuff. And saw my friends back home in St. Pete. They think I'm going to all these really exotic locations, and I'm getting to see all these really really cool things, like mountains and caverns and canyons and just whatever the country has to offer.
I think it is so cool.
Well, thank you.
Now, do the families that you stay with or the individuals you stay with involve you in doing things around the house as part of the accommodations while you're there, or do you just get to do what you need to do?
For the most part,
the laptop and all of that?
Yeah, for the most part, everybody just leaves me alone, and they see me if I'm on my computer. They know I'm just working on stuff. So, but you know, I try to help out however I can. You know, I always tell everybody I'm so appreciative. I don't want to get in your way. I don't want to be a burden. You know, whatever I can do to help, I'm here. You know, so I'm always cleaning up after myself. I'll try to do the dishes if I get the chance, or whatever. And but for the most part, everybody just lets me do my thing. And sometimes they'll go with me when I adventure around. Sometimes they're just they've got their own lives, they've got their jobs, they've got things going on. So I go out and adventure by myself, and then I'll come back and they'll say, "What'd you do today?" And I'll just start running down the list. I'm like, "I did this and I saw that." And there was, at one point, I was in Kansas City, and my friend I was staying with, he said, "Would you mind coming with me and my roommates to go pick dandelions?" I go, "Okay, what for?" And he goes, "We're going to make dandelion wine."
Of course.
So we go, and we pick a billion dandelions, but...
And there were a billion more you didn't pick.
Yeah. But the person we were staying with didn't reveal to us, or the person that we went to pick dandelions from didn't reveal to us beforehand that we were going to also be uprooting her yard for her. So we sat there for hours picking dandelions and pulling the roots out. And my friend I was staying with, he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know we were supposed to do that." And I go, "No, that's fine. You know, I don't mind doing work on the trip. You know, I'm doing lots of work myself with trying to keep updated on everything and keep everybody updated." So, and he's like, "Oh, I'm really sorry." And I said, "Don't worry about it. I'm used to working at a junkyard, so nothing phases me now."
Well, you've talked about how beautiful this country is and wide open spaces and land. And today we live in an atmosphere of mistrust. We hear terrible news stories all the time. We are often told we can't trust strangers, and of course we've talked a little bit about that. But what have you learned about American people and the American spirit that you'll probably take with you that is a truism that you didn't realize before?
That people are still really nice. I've dealt with so many rude people and so many people that don't really care about introducing themselves to other people, or I've dealt with so many people that just don't seem happy, and so they just seem like they're upset about something. And then I've met so many really great, nice, happy people around the country. And a lot of people, though, they asked me beforehand, they asked me during the trip. They said, "How is everybody taking the economy?" And I'll say, it doesn't seem like they're that much affected by it, because it seems like a lot of these people just want to live their life and they don't want to be worrying about the economy or worrying about what's on the news. Or I don't even know what's going on in the world really anymore. I'll read up online. But I hardly watch TV anymore. I don't know, I don't even know what day it is most of the time. So, I think the one thing is this country really still genuinely has extremely generous people, and I'm flabbergasted at that. I think it was the big shocker was, right when I started promoting this trip and promoting what I was going to do, I was so blown away that so many people right off the bat were coming out, emailing me and saying, stay with me. Not a problem. A week is totally fine. And I was really shocked by that because I really didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that I would be able to pull it off. I thought that, you know, I'm calling it 52 friends. I thought maybe five people would let me stay with them. So I think that the American spirit is definitely there, and people want to go see things. They want to go do stuff. They want to show me around. They want to have me go on adventures. And that's really amazing because I was so used to being back home, not going anywhere and not doing anything. You know, my mom lives 5 minutes from me, and I probably see her once a week. Like, what is wrong with me? Why don't I go out in the world? Why do I have to hinder my life by staying inside?
I agree. Well, I think one of the things that happens when you do something like this, too, I would imagine, is that we often find it easier to talk to people when they're not going to be in our lives for a long time, and I'll bet that on this trip you've had some amazingly fascinating conversations with people late at night when they've really shared their souls and something deep in their heart. That doesn't really happen most of the time with the people that you see every day because you talk with them about what you've done, and they tell you just what you say. Oh, I got up, I went to work, you know, I had breakfast, I went out to lunch today, I don't usually do that, and then I came home, fed the dog or whatever, and watched TV for a little while and went to bed. But when you're doing something different, it brings different things to you. I think it's almost magic.
I didn't even think about that. That was, you know, you're right about how, you know, to me, this whole year is just this big 365 linear adventure, and you know, to them, there's this weird person staying with them for a week. They're doing things they might not be normally, you know, used to doing. I'm doing all sorts of stuff that I'm used to doing for the whole month. But yeah, I've had some really amazing conversations with people I stay with. You know, either them telling me what has happened in their lives or what has happened in their towns or, you know, the history of things, like, you know, riding around, they say things like, oh, that used to be, you know, such and such a building, and now this is there, and this person used to live here, but they passed away, things like that. And soaking in that energy or just soaking in that history. And so there's definitely been times where, and especially with people that I've gone to high school with and haven't seen in 10 years, where you just get so fascinated with what's happened since high school, and they'll tell you all sorts of things, and I'm like, wow, you know, you can't get this from the internet, you know, even with all the social networking and everything going on, and everybody, you know, is seemingly tied to everyone else nowadays. Nothing beats being face-to-face with somebody and having a really great, true conversation. And that's a big thing that's going on with this trip. And I'm really glad that it's happening because it's making me real, you know, it's making me a lot closer with people. I can, you know, count on my hand the people back home that I'm really close to, but I can say I feel that I'm fairly close with a lot of the people I've stayed with now just because of this trip.
Well, Josh, I think that people are entrusted, are given the gift of doing something or the opportunity to do something that is totally right for them. The people who will do it in the way that will get the most out of it, I guess I could say, are the people that will be entrusted with it and given that opportunity. I really do believe that. I don't think these things are really random. I think in the cosmos or however you want to look at it in the universe, I think the right people are chosen for specific things, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And I think that you are perfect for this. You just radiate happiness. It's wonderful to hear, and you know, the people you're staying with are probably as eager to look out their window of life and encounter change and a new person as you are. And if nothing else, you'll probably wake up a lot of people to that fact and help people look at this country and their lives most importantly, their lives in a whole new way.
Well, I hope so. You know, I always had in the back of my head that, you know, maybe this will make people want to go out and do stuff. Maybe it'll, you know, hey, there's a park across from, you know, where I live. Maybe I'll go to that park today. Or maybe I'll, you know, I don't know, like just anything. And
I've seen people who have parks. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, not at all.
But I've seen people who have gone, who have lived right by parks, and the parks are empty, and you think, there is that green grass and the swings and all the things their children could be doing. And for the name of safety and maybe even in part laziness or just wanting to be by the TV or by the computer or whatever, people don't do that anymore. And I think if people really realize they have a neighborhood they can go out in and soak up the world a little bit, that's a great thing. And I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to say, you know, the one thing I hear from a lot of people I'm staying with, they say, you know, you're making me be a tourist in my own town.
Yes.
And I was in Santee, California, one of the suburbs of San Diego, and when I went hiking, it was a part of the Mission Trails, like wildlife preserve, and I went there on, I went to part of it on Valentine's Day with my friend I was staying with, and she said, this is 5 minutes from my house. This was the most amazing time. And I have not been here since I was 10 years old. And, you know, she's in her 20s now. And she goes, and she emailed me even after I left. She goes, you know, I am doing stuff now. I am, you know, and she just wanted to thank me, you know, for sharing in my adventures and then sort of kickstarting her own adventures.
Yes.
And so I was, you know, and I'm blown away at the fact that, you know, little old me might do something to impact somebody else's life. So I'm just like, you know, flabbergasted at that.
And we all can.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I should be telling everybody that. That's you don't know what weird little thing might have an impact on somebody. One of the guys I'm staying with in Virginia, he's a comic artist. And we were at the comic convention in San Diego, and he gave me this pen. And he said, hey, I'm being sponsored by these guys. I've got a lot of these pens. Here, take one. And that one pen drew some of the most amazing comics I've ever done in my life. And it just, like, I felt that was, you know, a huge turning point for me. And I told him, I said, if you didn't give me that pen, who knows, you know, what route I would have taken. You know, and just weird things like that. And really, yeah, you're right. It can happen with anybody.
Well, and I think people will get that. Even lots of times, you don't have to point that out to people. They will see it in the actions and in you living this life and doing this and seeing it in the happiness in your eyes and in your face. They'll know.
Yeah,
they'll get it.
You know, I just keep thinking back to when I was at home. I was, out of my group of friends, I was the only one that lived by themselves. So I could just imagine how much of a cranky old miser I looked just sitting at home with my cats, you know, grumbling about life, and then compare that to now, and just I'm trying to be as exuberant as I can, because I'm not even really trying. It's just it's happening, because I'm so amazed at everything. You know, right now I'm in a town of 2,000 people, and it's the smallest place I've stayed yet, and I love it. I love walking, you know, four blocks to the downtown area. I love the friendliness of everybody. Everybody's waving, everybody says hi here. And I go, man, like, if I wasn't doing this, I would either be at work or at home right now, like, just wondering, you know, how much sleep I'm going to get tonight so I can wake up and go to work tomorrow.
That's right.
So that's how I feel now.
I think this is just such a cool thing you're doing. It just says so much about flexibility and being open, and most people would just shiver if you said, most people, if they were going somewhere and they didn't have any place to stay, they would need to have everything fastened down. They'd have to know what they were taking and how long they were staying and who they were staying with and all of that. And I just think this is just phenomenal. I'm so glad that you were available to do this show with us. And certainly, if anyone wants to get in touch with you for any reason, how would they get in touch with you?
I've got my own website. It's joshcomics.com.
And can they write to you there?
And everything's linked on there.
Okay. Can they write to you there as well?
Oh, yeah. And my email address is josh@joshcomics.com.
You mentioned you have cats. Are they... Do you have someone keeping them for you?
Yeah, my ex-fiance is taking care of the cats and my mail and my bank stuff for me. So they're in good hands because they're used to her because we lived together for 3 years. And but I miss them.
I'm sure.
I keep thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get back, but I really think I just want to get a mattress and get a place to do art and just have my mattress and my cats. And just enough room to paint and draw comics or do whatever. And I keep thinking about, you know, if I'm going to end up back in St. Pete or if I'm just going to go there and grab my cats and take off and, you know, go on an adventure to find out, you know, wherever I end up.
And you're at an age and a time in your life where you're not encumbered with a lot of responsibilities. You can do that. And
yes.
The point is anyone can do it at any time. Of course, it's harder if you have families and all that. But who knows? You might even decide someday to go to another country and do this.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that. They're like, "You're going to do Canada next, huh?" And you know, I'm so used to just packing up every week that I'm going to be real antsy when I get back to Florida, and I'm just going to want to take off again.
When you complete this and you have this book together, we'd certainly love to have you back and help you promote it in any way.
Oh,
you can.
Excellent! Thank you.
And
when the whole zine run is done, it's going to be, you know, 52 issues, one for each week, and it's going to be 1,248 pages total.
Wow.
But there's so much that can't fit in the zine.
Oh, I'm sure.
So many things, so many backstories, and just, you know, I've got way more photos than can fit in there. So I'm really thinking I'm going to have, you know, one heck of a nice, actual real book when I'm done with this.
Oh, you will, and you'll have a lifetime of memories.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Josh, I want to thank you for being here tonight, and this has been fantastic, and I'd like to invite you back when we get together
again. All right,
yes,
thank you. I can talk your head off about anything. You know, if anybody just names a place, you know, one of the stays, it just pops into my head, like all the random stuff that happened in that week.
Sure. Well, Josh, thank you very much.
And yeah, thank you again.
We will definitely have you back, and you're all invited when we get together again for another edition of Books and Beyond. Good night.
You've been listening to Books and Beyond with Bonnie Blows, heard weekly at this time. To contact Bonnie, send an email to Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, @acbradio.org. On behalf of Bonnie and the entire production staff, thank you for listening, and please join us again for another edition of Books and Beyond.